Hawaii's people use solar energy more on a per capita basis than the people of any other state. And now that battery storage technology is advancing, solar makes more sense than ever. We asked Marco Mangelsdorf for ProVision Solar, who is the director and secretary of the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative, what drives solar energy use in our islands.
Well, the drivers, let's look at the drivers first. The drivers is the demand.
Right.
Demand both in terms of mobile power to be able to send cars more than 50, 100 miles and up to 200 to 300 or more miles on a single state of charge to try to alleviate what's popularly known as range anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So Elon Musk, I think, can be seen as the pioneer in terms of pushing the boundaries. I'm not sure what his company is valued at right now, but last year it actually surpassed General Motors, even though for every car that Elon sold, GM sold 85. So the demand for batteries that are able to propel us for hundreds of miles in a single charge.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, renewable energy, since the state is at the forefront, has been for a number of years. In fact, this year is the 10-year anniversary of the Hawaii Clean Energy Initiative, or HCEI, which Connie Lau at Hawaiian Electric Industries and HECO and Hawaiian Electric in general committed to that, along with the state and regulatory agencies, that this was something that we were going to dive into as an ohana, as a collective, to try to make the state more independent, more self-sufficient, more resilient. So it's really been driven, the development of these technologies has been driven by demands in the marketplace. And the need, the felt need, not just by Americans, but also across much of the planet as well, to get away from combusting things to produce electricity. And that I see is, global warming, climate change. Read a piece recently that the oceans are expected to rise a lot faster than some of the smarter people than you and I predicted we were going to have until, let's say, turn of next century. Well, maybe it's going to be 40, 50 years sooner. So I just say overall the demand for battery storage and more applications have really pushed a number of companies and countries. Now, the Chinese, even though Elon Musk and his gigafactory outside of Reno is the biggest one in the world right now, I've looked at a chart recently from Bloomberg that showed another 8 or 9 kind of similar size gigafactories lined up, principally in China and in the Republic of Korea. So it's really a booming will be an even more booming demand for battery storage that's going to help us get to where we want to be, because there are times when the wind doesn't blow, times when the sun don't shine, that you need to be able to store this electricity for power use.
And that gets to the advantage that it has for the homeowner, for home solar. You can accumulate power during the day and store it all night?
Depending on what your interconnect agreement is with either one of the Hawaiian Electric companies, HECO, HELCO, or MECO, or KIUC on Kauai, will dictate whether you actually need storage or how much storage you want to have. So it's still very much kind of a game in flux right now. We're waiting in the industry as well as consumers to see what Hawaiian Electric will be rolling out in less than 10 days. They are going to be submitting to the PUC by the 20th, 6 days from now, the documentation, the language for two new interconnect agreements. One is called the Customer Grid Supply Plus, and the other is called Smart Export. So there's going to be a new range of options, more options than we've ever had before, from which consumers can choose. And that'll dictate whether they want batteries, need batteries, and how much storage, if they do get batteries, how much storage they'll want.
So it sounds as if you wanted to move your home in this direction, your first task would be to check with your local utility.
You can certainly do that, because there is no shortage of information on the Hawaiian Electric website and KIUC website. At the same time, if they are in the market to at least look at the possibility for those who don't have solar electric yet, and they'll kind of put up plug-in for the whole darn state, mm-hmm. in that we are the most solar electrified state in the U.S. on a per capita, per household basis. We're also the most solar water heating promoting state in the country as well. So we really are the solar kings and queens, so to speak, on a per capita basis. And that's to our great credit. And it makes sense, of course, because our island chain is in the middle of this broad, wide Pacific, and the supply lines for fossil fuels coming to our state are literally thousands of miles long. So one of the things that an interested consumer can do is to see who's in town in terms of solar providers and do some research. You can check us out on Yelp. You can check us out with the Better Business Bureau. You can check us out with the Contractors License Board. And, you know, typical good advice is if you're thinking about making that kind of a capital investment, you should get two or three bids. Do your homework, and you're making a sizable investment.
What I was referring to, Marco, was the whole idea of finding out if you even need storage, the whole idea of assessing your daily usage in those terms.
Well, back in the what we kind of refer to as the good old days of net energy metering, which existed in the state from 2001 until 2015, 14 years, no batteries were needed, really, unless you wanted to have backup power in case the grid goes down. And the grids in this state are typically 99.966 or 998 reliable on a gross basis. Mm-hmm. So the vast majority of people who went with net energy metering, and there were about 80,000 of them, did not have a need for batteries on an economic basis. Why? Because whatever power they produced was fed back into the grid. Whatever power they produced that they didn't use was fed back into the grid, and they were credited at the full retail rate of electricity. Mm-hmm. The commission, the Public Utilities Commission, brought that to a close October of 2015 because it was an incentive, and I agreed with their decision. It was a subsidy and incentive which did what it was supposed to do. It spurred the market. It brought costs down. It brought about mass adoption. So it was time for it to be phased out. So there was no need for batteries for many, many years. Now that we've got these new programs, plus our utility has what's known as an evening peak. What that means is that, and it makes sense intuitively, people get home from work, get home from school, they start using electricity, they start cooking, they start bathing, they'll start doing laundry. So we have a peak typically from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's mm-hmm. when we need the most electricity. Well, that doesn't correspond very well when the sun, as far as when the right. sun is shining, right? So if there's a means to store the electricity produced during the day when there is less demand and provide it to your home loads and possibly to the utility company when there's the highest demand, that is a driver for more and more storage going in. And that, in fact, is what we're seeing in this new smart export tariff allows for feeding back into the grid, but only between 4 p.m. to 9 a.m. the next morning. And in order to do that from 4 p.m. to 9 a.m., you have to store the electricity you produced from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Uh-huh. when the sun is shining.
And that's where the batteries come in.
That's where the batteries come in, correct.
Marco Mangelsdorf of Provision Solar is a director and secretary of the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative and has taught energy politics at UH Hilo and the University of California.